Proverbs chapter 18. Brother Steve, can we get one air unit on? It's a little bit stuffy in here. Just one air unit. Proverbs chapter number 18. We did have a brand new choir member in choir tonight. I don't know if you spotted him. Brother Shavar, would you stand? Our newest choir member in the choir. And we're glad that he's here. And he didn't do bad. He hit two right notes the whole time. He'll do better as things progress, and that's exciting. If you didn't turn in your participation sheet, something that you would like to be a part of for the Easter, the outdoor Easter event, please make sure you fill one of those out and turn one in. If you were not in the service, ask anyone that was, and they'll explain it to you what that's all about. Thank you so much. We're going to give you some time back tonight. I think we'll be out early since we kept you 15 minutes overtime this morning. So Proverbs. I know someone says, well, I wasn't watching. Some people were. And so Proverbs chapter 18, and let's look down to verse number 24, I believe it is. The last verse in Proverbs chapter 18, the very last verse. And I want to speak this evening on this subject, keys to friendships. Keys to friendships. Everyone wants to have a friend. No one wants to die friendless. It was several years ago we were asked to do a funeral. I was out of town, so one of the men in the church did the funeral. A funeral home called and said, this man passed away. He didn't have a church and no religious affiliation, and would you guys be willing to do the funeral? And so one of our men said, I'll do the funeral. And they asked who the family was to call and to get information from. And there was no one to call. And so they didn't have any information on the family, relatives, nothing. And the funeral director just kind of said, you know, it's in the newspaper and social media. We'll just see who shows up. No one showed up but the funeral director and the guy in the casket. He lived his whole life somehow and never made a friend. How sad. He said, well, people didn't care. But part of the proof is on us as well. Somehow, he never made a friend in his life. And that's a sad thing. We don't want to be like that. You say, I think that was me. No, it wasn't you. No, the guy passed away. And so it wasn't you. And so let's notice this passage, please. Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24. A man that hath friends must, notice that word, must show himself friendly. Amen. So if we're going to have friends, there's no negotiation about it. We must be a friendly person. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Wonder who that's talking about. I think you know his name. And so that's an Old Testament reference to Jesus, the one who would one day stick closer to us than a brother. Keys to friendships, that's what we'll speak on tonight. Father, bless this brief time we have. Help us as we address a relationship, really, that outside of becoming a Christian has got to be the most important relationship. I pray that you would help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone said this, if you've ever laid bricks, how many bricklayers here, or at some time you have laid some bricks? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. What is the gray stuff you put between the bricks? What do you call it? Starts with the letter M. Okay, let's start. Mortar. And so someone said, friendship is the mortar that holds all relationships together. So, friendship with parents and their children being a real friend. Siblings, friends with each other. Us in Christ, the Bible called Abraham the friend of God. Friendship, mates. When someone gets married, they ought to be able to say, I married my best friend. You say, no, he wouldn't marry me, it's not that way. But it's that mortar. God always emphasizes being a friend over having a friend. Society emphasizes having friends. Are you my friend? When the Bible puts the responsibility on us, it's more important being a friend. Someone wrote this little poem. I went out to find a friend and could not find one there. I went out to be a friend and friends were everywhere. Amen. Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend. Now, normally, and I can't speak for every woman, but normally, women are more interested, especially girls as they grow up, in who their best friend is. That's why maybe that little initial, BFF, best friends forever. Most guys would say, do what? You ask a teenage girl, who's your best friend? Oh, so-and-so's my best friend. And some ladies, who's your best friend? Oh, so-and-so's my best friend. You ask a guy, do what? Friends. The whole world is my friend. Everybody's my friend. And so sometimes that comes into play. But Jesus definitely is the friend of sinners. Amen. He was criticized for being so. While the Pharisees just pointed out how good they were and how bad everybody else was, they criticized Jesus for eating people. I would be critical too. Eating with people. I can see it now. It's all over the internet. Cannibalism. Jesus was a cannibal. Oh, brother. Well, you heard it first here. The new truth. It's worth being here tonight, wasn't it? Brother John, how you like that? I never learned that in the Catholic Church. And so Jesus was criticized for sharing meals with people that by the Pharisees were called sinners. I love the song in the hymn book, Jesus, what a friend of sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. I love the song we sing here, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Now, quickly, let's turn to what's called the friend chapter. And maybe we've taught on this in an adult class or something, but just want to take for a moment, just an introduction on the responsibilities of a real friend. And we're in chapter 27 of Proverbs, if you will. And we'll get to this thing of being friendly in just a moment. That'll be the crust of the message. But here, if you're going to be a friend, here's what God says are the responsibilities. So there's privileges, but yea, there's responsibilities. It's not all about you taking, it's about you giving. So what is a real friend? How can you spot what a real friend is? Here it is, the friend chapter. Why do you say that? The word friend in chapter 27 is mentioned more in this chapter than any other chapter. So here we go. Look at this in verse 2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth. Number one, a real friend praises. Amen. They praise their real friend. If we're a real friend, we look for things that our friends are doing and we encourage them. We praise them. We brag on it. Good job. Hey, you did good at that. Hey, I noticed this. Hey, man, you're awesome. That's what a real friend does. A real friend is a cheerleader. Amen. They're not a cheer booer. They're a cheerleader. They're someone that's cheering their friend on. Now you say, Pastor, should you always be a cheerleader? Not always. I remember seeing I Love Lucy years ago, Brother Brown. And I Love Lucy, she was on a plane back when the Cuba was trying to give us a hard time. And she's sitting next to this man on the plane, and he says, I'm such a failure. And Lucy looks at him and says, no, you're not. He goes, I'm just a failure. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. She said, oh, yes, you can. You've got what it takes. He said, no, I can't. I'm just a failure. I'm a flop. I can't do what I'm supposed to do. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. He stands up, pulls out a gun, goes to the cockpit. I'm hijacking this plane to Cuba. So there's sometimes you do not encourage people and cheer them on. That's what I'm trying to say. But number one, we're to praise. Number two, look at this, verse number four, we're to share our friends. Wrath is cruel, anger is outrageous. Who is able to stand before envy? Right. Envy. Oh, well, you're close to that person. I wish I was close to that person. See, you never want to smother a friendship. Sometimes the reason why people don't keep lasting friendships is there's finally someone friendly toward them and they pounce on them and they're with them too much. The Bible says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest they be weary of thee and so hate thee. You always want the person wishing you would spend more time with them, and you cut it off while it's still fresh. You want to keep them wanting more. Oftentimes, that's why couples that like each other break up, because they kind of fall in light. Pretty soon, they spend all this time together, and then pretty soon, you're kind of old hat. You're not special anymore. It ought to always be, man, I wish they'd spend more time with me. Man, I wonder if he's going to call me. I wonder if he's going to text me this week. I wonder if, and so forth. I think you get the meaning there. Amen. Share a friend. It was Jesus that said, our friend Lazarus is sick or is dead. He didn't say, my friend. It wasn't this possessive stuff. Folks, we're supposed to be mature. That's how you want to be. Hey, it's okay if I'm just on your friend list. I'm just glad to be one of your friends. I don't have to be the top. I don't have to be number one. I don't have to be your best. I don't have to be your closest. And sometimes that ought to be like that. Don't ever get jealous when someone's getting closer to who you think your BFF is. Okay. Pastor, I never learned alphabet. Never took phonics in school. I don't know what you're talking about. All right. So number next, look here, please, in verse 5 and 6. Responsibilities of a real friend. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Open rebuke, and then faithful are the wounds. Someone said, a real friend says good things behind your back and true things to your face. Amen. That's amazing, huh? A real friend says good things behind your back, but sometimes to your face they say truthful things that need to be said. Faithful of the wounds. A real friend corrects a real friend. Hey, I heard how you talked to your mom on the phone. Shame on you. What? Well, I thought we were friends. Shame on you. You shouldn't have ever, I mean, no good kid should ever treat his mom like. See, a real friend sometimes rebukes. Rebukes right to the face, says what they need to hear. Doug Fisher is known famously. His wife was at the ladies' conference. You preach at his church, he'd call you aside and say, brother, is there anything you see in our church? Anything you see in me? Anything you see about our ministry that needs correcting? Then he would say, wound me, brother. Wound me. It's okay. I'd rather fix it than, it's okay if you hurt me. Wound me, brother. And I thought, wow, that's a real friend. Someone who will wound you. I was in high school. My heart was drifting some from the Lord. Wasn't openly doing wicked things, but in my heart I wanted to. One of the teenagers caught that, and I'll never forget it. It was the pastor's daughter. She caught me in the lobby of the church, and she said, stop breaking my daddy's heart. She said, I got up this morning. My dad's on his knees in the living room early in the morning praying. I heard him call your name out. Stop it. I mean, she might as well just stab me with a knife and just twisted it and licked the blood off. I mean, oh, I was wounded. Guess what? That's a real friend. A real friend doesn't let you just go all the way off the cliff in the canoe saying, man, you look good. Hey, let me take the bit. And the canoe's going off the cliff. Off the waterfall, I should say. Not off the cliff. They were probably eating each other in the canoe as they went over the cliff. Verse number 7, look at this. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. You ever eat so much that someone says, hey, you want to go out to eat after church? Oh, I'm full up to here. The men's meeting. You know, the one that all we do is eat and we throw in the Bible a little bit, call it a men's conference. It should be the glutton time. And so here's all the men, they eat, they eat up to here, and then all the ladies bring all these desserts and they eat up to here, and they've got these pies and they're kind of shaking. Time for church. They sit down, hour later, hey, let's eat again. Man, I can't. It was, you know what I'm talking about. You're not looking forward to eating after a while. God says if we spend too much time with someone, it's not sweet anymore. So God's saying, measure your time together with friends. not too much. But if it's not enough, then there's no friendship. My wife often tells me, she says, you're the one that keeps some of your friendships going because you make phone calls. If I'm a friend to some pastor friends, it's because I'm trying to make phone calls on a regular basis. Hey, man, how'd you do today? How was it? Anything new going on? What are you preaching on Sunday? Hey, that sounds good. But some guys are not connectors. Someone's got to do the connecting. What else? Look down, if you will, please, in verse number 9. These are responsibilities of a real friend. Verse 9, it says, ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend. Look at this. Here's what we have to do. By hearty counsel. So that means a real friend is learning this book. So when your real friends need advice, you have biblical advice to give them. Sometimes they're not going to ask the pastor. Sometimes they're not going to ask a seasoned saint that's been saved a long time. They come to you and say, what would you do? That's why the monkey's on your back. You've got to be able to say, well, here's what the Bible says. Now, it never hurts. I've had men do this. Their wives say, honey, what does this verse mean? And their husbands say, you know, let me pray on that. Let me look that up. Then they call me, pastor, what's this verse mean? I'll say, here's what that word is. Great. Honey, me and the Lord have been thinking about it. And then the wife says, you are so wise. It's okay to borrow brains. It's okay to call someone. Hearty counsel. We've got to be able to give biblical advice, not just what we think. Here's another responsibility. Some of you right now are saying, I'm a lousy friend. I'm a lousy friend. Look at verse 14. He says, he that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning. How many of you believe this? It shall be counted a curse to him. How many of you are morning people? When you wake up, the whole world should be awake. I mean, whatever time you're up, get up! You want coffee? Hey! And the music's blaring and blam, 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 and door slamming, showers on. Who feels like those people should not even be saved? Okay. Now, others of you, maybe you get up later, but man, you're burning the midnight oil and you're up at 10, 11 midnight, maybe past that, still working. And man, you're on. So God says this, a real friend has to watch the moods of their friends. They're conscious of it. Hey, stop for just a moment, okay? So tonight we shouted and cheered for Brother Shafar. Now, Wednesday night when he's here, like Wednesday, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, okay. So Wednesday night when he walks in, it's been 3 days since we've seen each other. There's been job, there's been kids, there's been marriage, there's been bills, there's been high gas prices, there's been commute, he's not going to be the same person. I'm not going to be the same person. We've had some water under the bridge 3 days. So a real friend tries to study the countenance a little bit. Are they up? Are they down? Are they discouraged? They're tired? You can't just pick up where you left off. Have you ever noticed that?
Right.
Years ago, we had a guy that helped with the teens in Louisiana. And I took off to Bible college. He was on fire for the Lord, winning souls. His dad was chief of police. And I went off to Bible college, came back. And I'm on staff, it's my first Sunday back, and there he is in the pew. I'm assuming he's never missed a lick. I didn't realize he had dropped completely out of the church, served the devil for 3 years. It was his first Sunday back. I said, I need a illustration here. I said, I need someone to be the devil. Hey, Donnie, come on up here. All right, you'll make a good devil. And He was about as mad as the devil. And I pulled him up. I didn't realize things were not how they had been. So a real friend is wise. They try to study the countenance, study the face, see where they're at before they start singing at the top of their lungs in the morning. You see. Okay. Pastor, I don't get it. I don't know. We'll go back to the cannibalism in just a moment. So get you back on here. I was at a conference, and there was a a pastor. I was getting ready to speak. And after the service, he said, "You didn't like that special, did you?" I said, "Do what?" He said, "You didn't like the special before you preached, did you?" I said, "It's a great gospel song." He said, "That's not what I asked you." He said, "You didn't like the special, did you?" I said, "It was all right." He said, "I watched you. I could tell you didn't like it." That was the pastor. Know why? He knows me. He watched my countenance. It didn't do anything for me. Okay. That's what we're talking about there. All right. You can contact him, email him or something like that. Here's another one, verse 17. "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." So what's a friend do? What's a responsibility? Make the people you're around sharper Christians than you. It ought to be, "I spent an hour with so-and-so. I feel sharpened. I feel like a better Christian just by hanging around them. I'm not the same. I'm not worse. I am better." Amen. That's our job as a real friend. Amen. Here's another one. This is interesting. Verse 19, you parents would know this. Look down at verse 19, and this is it for this chapter. "As in water, face answereth to face." What's that talking about? You look in water, you see your reflection. Okay? You see your reflection. Verse 19. "So the heart of man to man." What's that talking about? Friends oftentimes attract who they are. Who they are. It's interesting. We go to camp. We go to youth conference. We're unloading. And maybe there's this one rebel kid that jumped on at the last second, and oh, should we let him go? But as soon as we get to camp, you know, we're trying to protect, "Oh, Lord, help them make a decision." Within 5 minutes, they've met every other rebel kid from all the other youth groups. They have found each other. How is that? Is there like antennas? Ooh, beep, 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 beep. Rebel over here, rebel over here. Beep, 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 beep. It's something about they see in others who they are. And maybe they're all fighting for the back seats or whatever it is. But oftentimes we attract who we are. So sometimes when we tell our kids, we're worried, "Man, I'm afraid they're going to get around the wrong crowd." If they're getting around the wrong crowd, it could be they are the wrong crowd. I was at a motel years ago. It was at a conference, and in the early days, 30, 35 years ago, if my wife's with me, I don't pray in the room. I just don't. I don't kneel next to the bed. If you do that, that's fine. I want to pray out loud. I get up early, get my cup of coffee. I'm just walking around the parking lot praying. So I was up early. I was walking down the parking lot, had a cup of coffee, and I look up. A guy says, "Hey, man, who are you?" And it was Pastor Tim Rule. Cup of coffee, praying in the parking lot. That's how we met, in the parking lot. Amen. Same heart. We've been like this ever since. I mean, this ever since. Someone said Billy Reed started a church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Baton Rouge had a friend. James and Martha Vaughner invited our family to church. The Ray family had a friend. Mrs. Washburn befriended my mother. My mom had a friend. Martha Vaughner picked me up for church. I had a real friend. Bob Smith preached the gospel. I got saved and had a friend. Claude Bonham started a teen camp. I surrendered to preach and had a friend. Billy, Don, and Arthur were some of my peers in our youth group. I had some friends. C.W. Fisk let me stay at his house when I arrived at college. I had a friend. Pat and Jerry Sinclair encouraged my future wife to attend college. I had a friend. All of these friends helped mold my life at different stages. God used them all. Someone said, being honest may not get you a lot of friends, but it will always get you the right ones. Someone said, great friends are hard to find, difficult to leave, and impossible to forget. Let's talk about quickly here, friendliness. It's the basis for all friendships. No one becomes a friend where someone was not first friendly. Friendly. We had a family years ago. See me after the service, I'll tell you their name. First name, last name, where they live, everything. It was a businessman that came to our church, pretty wealthy. And they would always come in. After the song service ended, I'd be standing up getting ready to speak. That's when they would come. As soon as we said, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, they grabbed their Bible, always in the back, and left. We tried to take them out to eat, tried to get them to come over to the house. They'd never come over. They came several years. I did several family members' funerals. I was always there. Finally, they said, we're not coming back. The church is just not friendly. They were the last ones to church, first ones to leave, never let anybody talk to them. Now look, there are just going to be some people like that. You can be kind, you can be friendly, but that's how they are. Bible characters who were friendly, you need not turn to it, I'll just mention it. Abraham was friendly. In the book of Genesis, three angels traveled, they came by his tent, he had food for them, begged them to stay. Abraham was friendly. I think of Jonathan after David killed the giant. Samuel 18, the Bible says, God knitted the hearts of David to Jonathan. Jonathan was the friendly one. He was the one speaking. He was the one giving gifts to David. He was friendly. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when Daniel needed an answer in a vision from God. He told his friends, please pray for me. And they did. And he got the answer and saved their lives. I think of Jesus' friendliness. You say, Pastor, you think Jesus was friendly? Oh, yes, he was. Now, the Bible says that he walked through Jericho, looked up the tree, and saw a man looking for him. He said, Zacchaeus, come on down. Help me. I'm going to your house today. Yeah, all right, I didn't want to have, I'm eating you today. I want to make sure we didn't mess that one up. But he knew his name, and Jesus spoke to him. He could have just walked by and said, look at that sinner up in that tree. Jesus was friendly. He was friendly to a woman at a well. Woman who had faced enough rejection for a lifetime. She sat at the well. She did not speak first. He spoke first. She was shocked. She said, you're speaking of me? The Jews have nothing to do with us Gentiles, us Samaritans. I'm shocked you would humble yourself to even speak to me. Because he spoke to her and he was friendly, she got saved. Amen. We think of the fishermen. Jesus is just walking by the seashore. Hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He spoke first. Okay. When Nathanael was just starting to be introduced, he said, oh, an Israelite in whom is no guile. He says, you know me? He said, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He said, you must be the Son of God. Jesus was friendly. I think of Barnabas. The Apostle Paul gets saved, comes to the church in Jerusalem. It's Acts 9:26. And it says that Barnabas said he has seen the Lord. He was preaching in Jerusalem. He's a good guy. He's not a spy. Welcome him into the church. Barnabas was friendly to Paul, and it changed his life. It was Philip. The Holy Spirit said, go into Gaza, the desert. And he said, okay. He didn't know if anyone was there. He went. He saw a chariot, an Ethiopian reading the word of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. He said, hey, you get one of these? No, not that. He said, hey, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? Why don't you come on the chariot, explain it? But he started the conversation. It was Philip that was friendly. Now look, you go to any church in Napa that calls itself a church, and you ask the church, are y'all a friendly church? They're all going to say, yes, we are. But ask the people that visit. Don't ask the members. And so we see here all these people that were friendly. I think of Joseph. He's in prison. He sees a butler and a baker And he says, why are you so sad today? He is speaking to them and ends up interpreting two dreams while he's there. You say, all right, Pastor, give it to us quickly. All right, so what is the character trait of friendly people? And why is this so important? Here is why it's so important. We work so hard. We pass out flyers, pass out tracts. Finally, someone says, we're going to visit. And they walk in the building. Now stop for a moment. They don't know anybody here. All the way. As soon as they get dressed and get in the car, the demons are saying, don't go to church. What are you thinking? Don't go to church. You got a million things to do today. They pull in the parking lot. We've had people pull in the parking lot, get scared, and then leave. It's a spiritual warfare. Finally, they come in the building. Maybe they're dragging their kids. Maybe they're not quite well behaved. Or they're wondering, do we fit in? Is there people our race? Are we dressed up enough? Are we dressed down too much? Are we supposed to have a Bible? And there's all these things. We cannot ever make them feel awkward. People walk in and wonder, do I belong? Am I wanted? Am I accepted? Some people may come once and never come back. Others, they come and say, man, everyone spoke to me. This is real. It's not just a building.
Amen.
So important.
Amen.
We have Easter coming up. There'll be people visit our church that we have visited all year long. They're going to give it one shot. They're going to give it one time. And if everyone's too busy to speak to people and guide them and show them where classes are, they'll never come back. We're working hard. But friendliness is what keeps them. You know, there's churches all over the valley where they didn't even open the Bible today. They didn't hear a sermon. They had no music or it was terrible. They stood, they sat, they stood, they sat, they kneeled, they stood, they sat, they chanted, and then they went home. And they're going to keep coming. How come? They're connected to someone there. They're connected. So what are the character traits? I'll give them to you. Here we go. Of a friendly person. Here it is. One, they smile. Well, I don't have any teeth. Just show your gums. Be proud of your gums. Someone said when we smile, it confuses the demons. About the time the demons say, I've got them discouraged, they're down for the count, and you smile, it's like, what's going wrong? They're smiling.
Amen.
A smile says, I am glad to be in your presence.
Amen.
I'm not going to embarrass the lady. I thought it was humorous today. But there was a man came up to one of our good ladies who's here tonight in a store. And He didn't see her wedding ring, I guess, at first. And he started talking to her. And he actually came to church today. And he told me, he said, I was flirting with her. Most men don't just come up and say, I was flirting with one of your members. He says, wait, well, wow, look at this. So we have a new song, date them in, date them in, date them in from the fields up. No, I'm just. You never know. Why are they coming? Number one, they smile. Number two, they speak first.
Amen.
I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but there are a ton. Philippians 4, 21 through 22. There's probably 16 verses that says, greet so-and-so. Greet Amplius. Greet Olympus. Greet Timothy. Greet the church. Greet means to speak.
Amen.
To greet, to speak. Now look. Everyone's personalities are different. We have five kids. We've got all the personalities. We've got melancholy. We've got choleric. We've got phlegmatic. That means dry humor. We got the sanguine, the life of the party. I mean, we've got them all. All our personalities are different. Some of you could walk into church, sit there the whole service, never speak to anybody, leave and say, we had a great day. It's just how you're wired. It's maybe how your family is, and that's not a sin. But for the sake of unsaved people and new people in church, we have got to change that personality, at least at church, and say, they need me to speak. They need me to smile. They need me to go out of my way and say, we are glad that you're here.
Amen.
How many times during the little fellowship time, Brother Brett will say, all right, greet someone. How many times have you heard me maybe walk down the aisle? I'll say, they're all in the back. They're all in the back. Visitors are in the back. Visitors don't come the first time and sit right here. They're fighting for the back seats. It's like, we can run for the door if this turns crazy. They start pulling out snakes and jumping the pews. Man, we're out of here. We're safe. And a lot of times I'll say, they're in the back. They're in the back. A friendly church doesn't just sit in their seat the entire service and say, good to see you again. Good to see you again. You're always here. You're always here. Someone needs you. You may be a painter. Guess what? The visitor's a painter. You're going to connect. Someone told me, hey, we had a guest here today. He fishes. I said, I'm on it. I'm on it. We're going to connect. We're probably related through evolution, you know, all the scales and stuff. You ladies that cook, you ladies that are business people, you that have medical backgrounds, that's why you are who you are, so you'll connect with people like no one else will.
Amen.
They smile. They speak first. They greet, if you will, quickly. They notice others. You see the visitor this morning? No, I didn't see him. You weren't looking for him. If I said tonight, we've got a person that has $1 million in the service, cash, they want to give it to someone who's real kind to them tonight. We'd be having handshaking time for about 2 hours. They notice. Hey, was this family here? Hey, did you see so-and-so family visit? Nope. Did you see that family? Nope. You have to look around. I'm always on the platform. Of course, I've got the advantage just looking. But that's why during handshaking time, I'm trying to make a beeline to all the newer people. First time or newer or unsaved people. Why? A handshake makes a difference. Anyone see the guy that was 7 foot tall today? Did you see him?
Yeah.
Brother Berto, really, how tall is he? I mean, I'm guessing. I thought, here it is. I think I'm exaggerating. 7'3". His name's Ike and Mike. So we kind of connect it. You know, there's this candy bar named after us. So during handshaking, I went all the way back. I said, hey, man, I'm so glad you're here. I just saw you. I'm the pastor. We talked a little bit. I said, man, I'm so glad you're here. Sitting down, he was taller than any man in our church standing up. I mean, he didn't have to stand out. I mean, he was just in the back hiding, and he wasn't doing very good at it. I said, now, you played ball, didn't you? And this is all during handshake. He said, I did. Played a little semi-professional this and that. And I said, I had a chance to play pro ball, too. He said, really? I said, yeah, for the New Orleans Saints. He said, really? How long did you play? I said, no. Look. I said, I had a chance, about this much chance. And he started laughing. I said, hey, I want to hear your story later this week. Let's get together. You know, that goes a long way, disarming a person who is coming in saying, I don't know any of these people. I don't even know what they believe. And now someone is shaking their hand. They've cut up, tried to connect a little bit. I said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Baton Rouge. You got roots? Nope, I'm from here. Really? You know, Jesus loved that man so much, he came and died on a cross and rose again. And God has entrusted us. He's here one time. I wonder what he got. Did he get prayed for? Karen Cavanaugh told us at the ladies' conference, every time visitors came to the church, her and two or three of her girlfriends would spot the visitors and all throughout the church service pray for their salvation. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to connect. We're supposed to notice others quickly. Be interested in others. He said, Pastor, this sounds like some Dale Carnegie course or something. I don't know. So friendliness is not just this. Good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. That's two. That's three. That's four. No, that's politics. That's what politicians do. Hand me the babies. Kiss the baby. Shake the hands. Pose with. No. It's got to be sincere interest. Man, who invited you today? How are you connected here? Oh, that's one of your relatives. Oh, I know them. Man, I'm so glad. What do you do for a living? You're asking, you are not talking about you. It's not about you and me. We're trying to find out about them.
Amen.
Oh, I got it. What? You're a spy? For the Russian government? Wow, nice having you for the last time. Now, let me just say this too. Never criticize anything they have on. I mean, for instance, they're a Bronco fan or something. It's their first time. Don't make fun of their team. Man, y'all's team stinks. It's their first time here. Don't have rivals. When I was a youth pastor in Louisiana, we got pennants from all the public schools, junior high and high school, and we stapled them all along all the walls. So every time we had a visitor, public school kid, he came in the youth group, he looked up, hey, Redemptorous High, my school. Get this, we had kids from the Christian school came up and said, where's our pennant? I said, we're not trying to reach you. We're trying to reach them. What else? Let's give you the rest of it and we're out of time. What a difference. Number next, a friendly person is a good listener. A good listener. Number next, they include others. Hey, why are you sitting over there? Come sit with us. Now, I just want to say this. Teenage guys, that means every time we have a first-time teenage visitor on the property, your eyes ought to be on them. Hey, man, we're so glad you're here. What school you go to? How'd you end up here? We want you to sit with us. Man, don't sit alone. Sit with us. You want to include. Teenage girls, I know it's hard. Teenage years are a awkward time. You go up to speak to another teenager, and that voice of yours, would you like to sit with us? Your voice cracks. Your clothes in 2 weeks, they're 3 inches too short because you had a growing spurt. You had a bad hair day. You have zits all over your face. Would you like to sit in the zit section with us? I know it's awkward, but guess what? That kid feels just as awkward as you do. They need to be included. They're longing for belonging. And it may be the difference if they get saved. It may mean the difference if their family ties in. Man, I love that church. Well, we were going to visit. No, we love that church. You could make the difference. You may not preach the sermon, but by shaking a hand, including someone, sincerely care about them, it would make a bigger difference sometimes than the sermon. Not only that, but this too, quickly, a real friend prays for their friends. Job 42, it says, when Job prayed for his friends, his captivity ended. Amen. It's a responsibility. Friendly people oftentimes pray for friends. Next, learn their names and use them. 3 John verse 14, the Bible says, greet thy friends by name. All right, let's confess it. Let's find out who's terrible remembering names. Let's just confess it. Terrible, terrible. Good to see you, Jose. It's Juan. Well, God bless you, Pedro. I like your family being here. It's Juan. Well, Pedro, we like you being here. Look, if you've ever had your name mispronounced, that's all you remember. I had this jury duty this week. They're a call and roll, butchering everybody's names. I know I'm about to butcher this name. Would Trevantham Julio Garcia Aviar. Did I get it right? Well, now the person's humiliated. So when you ask the name, you want to get it right. You want to hear it. Okay. And then I know sometimes you bluff. You forget their last name. How you spell your last name again? S-M-I-T-H. Just want to make sure. You want to hear their name and use it. It's music to their ears. Last, and we're done. Brag on their kids. rag on their kids. Their kid may have gum in their hair. Their kid may be demon-possessed. Their kid may have bit some other kid in the nursery. And it needs to be, you know, your kids are something else. It's bound to be something positive you can say. Everybody thinks theirs are the cutest and the sweetest. You'll never help anyone by criticizing their little ones, mispronouncing their names. The friendly church, we have it. It's got to start with each and every one of us. You say, well, that's just not the way I am, Pastor. I'm not wired that way. I don't like talking to people. I just come to church, I sit there, and then I leave. You could do more for the Lord if you'd be friendly. I heard a testimony years ago. I'm finished. A discouraged pastor went to a national pastors conference. Ready to quit. Last thing he was ever going to go to. The theme that year was don't quit. One of the little handouts like we give out for the ladies conference was a little pack of certs. And every cert had stamped on it, don't quit. Each individual meant, it was stamped, printed on it, don't quit. And that pastor sat in the very, very back, opening night. A little 7-year-old girl walked up to him and said, are you one of the preachers? Yeah. My name is so-and-so. Thank you for coming to our church. We've been praying for you guys. For weeks and weeks and weeks. I'm so glad you're here. Enjoy yourself. My name is so-and-so. I just want to thank you for being here. The pastor started crying. And he said his whole week was settled right there. If a little 7-year-old girl thought he was important, he said, I think I can just stick it out a little bit longer. A friendly child made the difference in an entire ministry. Let's work at it. Let's be conscious about it. I know some of you that have a lot of kids, it's difficult. Be friendly. I'm doing good to find my kids. And I understand we were there at some time. But as soon as you can scoop up the kids, you want to be looking. Be like, oh, y'all new? Is this your first time? You'll love it. We've been here so many years. I'm glad you're... So there you go, the friendly church. He that hath friends, and guess what God will end up giving you? By just being friendly, you're going to end up with some friends you wouldn't have had. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen.